Blog Talk Radio.
From the slaughter at Soil and Water 2015, two rainy nights and sunny days in Mesilla Valley, and broadcasting from a modest, humble, semi-furnished, partially buried Cold War era bomb shelter. Kelly O'Connell here, 606. It is the sixth day of, if I'm not mistaken, May, and 2015, and pretty nice outside right now. These are really fantastic days. I love this raining at night and, kind of a little bit sunnier during the day, the broken clouds and everything. Really a beautiful time of the year. And hopefully we can get some more rain down here. We've got big news. Big news is that in the soil and water vote, which we had two candidates come on here, Steve Womuth and Mr. Shika Dance. There was a vote, and a lot of people turned out, and it was very, very convincing win for kind of the old guard, if you want to call them that, but the people that represent the traditional families and basically the traditional way of life in this valley, and against this progressive voter alliance, the progressive movement that would seek to come in and bring an international or even, what could I call it? A universal or kind of a cosmic order, trying to bring in maybe United Nations ideas or whatever you want to call it, anti-global warming. But anyway, so there was a vote out there, and this vote was decisive in favor of these, traditional family, the traditional people that want to continue to see this this area developed and the farmers protected, and they don't want to see water cut off. They don't want to see the land taken over by the government. Can you imagine that? What if all the land was controlled by the government directly? Wouldn't that be? All right, so let me get to you some of the headlines here. Greece is facing an unprecedented financial crisis. It's been going through a crisis for probably the last 10 years or more. The problem in Greece is the problem in a lot of these countries, that they don't want to, they want to take part in, for example, the EU, but they don't really want to take any of the measures that would make them financially more secure. So there's a lot of corruption in the government. I was told by somebody who's from Greece yesterday that they had stolen 300 billion euros. And they were demanding that these were senators and congressmen in Greece, that there was a demand that they return this. But it's kind of eye opening. Anyway, they may go through a bankruptcy and reorganization. The Federales are going to approve a ferry service to Cuba. Will you go to Cuba? I would be interested personally. I've heard so many stories from living in Miami. Got some news for you about ISIS that is not going to make you feel very comfortable. The NSA is turning the recording of your voice into text so they can search it. Doesn't seem to be any stopping the NSA. I don't even know if anybody's trying. Certainly, the current administration has no criticism of the NSA. Very weird story from yesterday or the last few days. A former FBI agent went to CIA headquarters and said she wanted to die by basically police brutality. She's a young black lady. Her name is Tunisia. Her first name is Tunisia. I'm trying to remember what her last name was. But anyway, very weird. And I don't know. They brought her in for a mental health update. But it seemed to me someone who was really into the black movement and had maybe pushed over the edge by the Freddie Gray incident in Baltimore. But weird, to say the least. All right. We did have a... There was a tornado, actually, that had occurred in, I think it was Roswell. And found a clip of it for you here. They called it a rope tornado. And it was, you know, a rope tornado, kind of a thin one. You know, it wasn't these big, one of these big, coming down the tracks like a runaway train, one of these giant tornadoes. It was just a thin one, but it did have enough strength to destroy a shed. So, not a lot of tornadoes in New Mexico, fortunately. Let me get that clip for you right here. And check it out. Well, anyway, so that's your tornado of the year. And a lady said, Amanda Farmbro said, I got up to look out the window and saw it tearing up the building in the back there and grabbed the dogs. And we ran and ran and ran and took off to the bathroom by 30 feet. I'm thankful to be alive. If it tore up a shed, it could have torn up Miss Farmbro and her pooches. I'm thankful it wasn't our house that could have been damaged. I mean, we had a solid brick shed just get decimated to nothing. So I can only imagine what it would have been if it hit the house with us in it. People would have been digging for us at the moment, as she said, as she mopped her brow, looked fevered with her dogs whining and scratching fleas in the background. So anyway, a little bit of excitement out there. And all right, so 6:14 right now. We got Ben Rossin coming on for his Rossin. And it's exciting times for the conservative movement in this county. They feel like they're starting to get back up on their feet a little bit. And so I wonder if this vote portends big stuff in the next round. I don't know. Speaking of weather, 54 degrees right now, 81 is going to be the high, 58 the low. Going to be a little bit warmer tonight, friends. And so, although another report says 84 is the high and 54 the low, I don't know. They kind of combine these things in the same. It's kind of strange. But suffice it to say, it'll be over 80 today and down to the high, if not the mid 50s in the evening. And it should be nice and cool and a clear day, 8 miles per hour of wind, humidity about 55%. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We will be right back. And it is 6:15. Yes, indeed, folks. Kelly, 6:18. And the reign of the progressives, is it, speaking of rain, is it over? Is progressivism on its heels around here? Well, I guess the Don Kurtz group took a little shot to the solar plexus last night but I'm sure they'll be back. In the meantime, the fight over the recall, although the newspaper has basically dismissed it, it still goes on. and we don't know what's going to happen with that. Although Gil Sorg has gotten a group of progressives to help him in the court. He initially said that in a very fatalistic way, he was at one with the universe originally with this. He said he was just going to let it play out. And now he realized when somebody, I'm sure, called up and said, would you like a little bit of help? He said, yes, I'm feeling very afraid and alone right now. And so he's taken on help. And so there's a couple of attorneys from Albuquerque and maybe one from down here who are helping him out. They're giving him a little bit of encouragement. They're holding his pinky right now as he shivers in the corner. Here, we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's John, your tow truck driving buddy.
John, what is up, my patriotic friend?
Well, I've got a question about Gil Sorg on this recall deal. The recall group is, they're suing the city over the way that was done, the way the signatures and stuff were taken off. And Gil Sorg is getting private attorneys. How can he do that? They're not suing him. They're suing the city. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's a great question.
Why is he getting attorneys?
Great question. I'll have to look into this question and come up with
an
answer.
Well, I know the guy that can give you a couple of answers on it. Just so happens a friend of mine is basically the leader of the recall group. And
is he living in the jungle? In a hut?
No, he lives right down the street from me, about four doors down from me, and I work at his shop occasionally and help him out. He's a heck of a nice guy, real good patriot, too.
Why don't we get him on the show?
Would you like to get on the show and talk to him? You know him, Kelly.
I do.
Yeah, his name's Rob Bureau.
Oh, yeah, Rob, what a good guy. Interesting. Small world.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It's something else. But I'm sure, I don't know, I'll probably talk to Rob today, or I could text you his phone number so I can give him a ring.
Let's get him on the show.
That'd probably be a good thing because the city's doing some kind of weird stuff here with this, the way they're tossing out signatures and like that. And then the things that they're claiming that the recall group did are illegal or not, and I don't know. It seems kind of strange that they're really fighting this recall.
Well, I mean, we all tend to protect our own. The city councilors are the family members. They're the leadership of the city, you know?
Sure enough, I guess.
I'm not saying that justifies everything, but that's certainly the sociological, the psychological background of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. It's just, I don't know. It's I don't see why they're so scared of a recall election. If they're so popular and they're so well-liked by their constituency, then what's the problem? Just, okay, let's have a recall election. Go ahead and do it.
I think that Gil Sorg thought his legacy was being challenged, and since he doesn't believe in a life beyond this, he was troubled.
Oh, well, could be. Sounds to me like a man with, a couple of fears in his pocket. So,
he needs someone to warm up a hot water bottle for him every night and give him a little more milk.
So I don't know, buddy, but keep up the good work, and I'll get
that.
Rob to give you a ring.
Thanks, John. And
keep
driving safe out there.
All right, buddy.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right. So I actually don't know if Gil Sorg believes in a life beyond this life, but he might. He might believe in a mind that organized the universe and is just kind of looking at us dispassionately. Not really interested, but not disinterested. We have to make our own way on the earth. Maybe he believes in that. Who knows what he believes? He could believe in the God of Darwin. But Gil, I know you listen to the show every morning. Over your cappuccino, you're more than welcome to come on and talk about your beliefs, the recall election, some of your greatest hits, et cetera, et cetera. I invited Gil on before, and he gave me the beady eye like I was a border agent looking at some unusual bulges around his waistline, if you know what I mean. But anyway, it was he's more than welcome to come on. Nathan, please don't call me Tiny, is welcome to come on. Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, and Olga, the KGB girl, Pedroza, which you remember that the guy called in and said he went to see her like 20 years ago and came up and to her desk and saw a little picture on her desk and thought, oh, it must be a family member. And he leaned over and looked into it and realized he was staring into the face, into the grimy, despotic face of Fidel Castro. Kind of a person would do that, huh? Well, that's the kind of leadership we have around here, I guess. So 5-2-3-14-50, but it'd be interesting. I mean, I wonder what Gil Sorg would think if he was tossed out by this recall, if he would consider himself to therefore not be successful, or if he thought he was very so successful that the opposition had to go after him, or what, you know? So we've got progressive leadership in the city council, Olga, Nathan, Gil, and then we've got progressive leadership in the county, Billy Garrett, Billy Golden Ring, Earring Garrett, and Wayne Hancock. And so we've got a lot of progressive leadership here. And let me ask you this. Is it working for us? Is it achieving what we want, what they claimed? Would you be interested in their support and leadership if you found out that they didn't give a rat's hind quarter for, say, for example, the economy, but they were trying to save nature through Dona Ana County? If they were fighting to save this, you know, kind of this, is it Gaia? Is the earth is a god? Is it? They're trying to defeat global warming town by town. I wonder how many little towns like ours or little cities, really, small cities, big towns, have exactly the same battle with these hippies. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty Riley.
Patty Riley, citizen journalist. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, if they're so interested in nature, we're part of nature. Okay, it says that specifically in the, I believe it was the Declaration of Independence. But we're part of the environment, so they're not really that concerned about it either.
Huh. Well, that's too bad.
I mean, if you take a look at it, we're part of the ecosystem, and they're trying to destroy us. Okay, they need to get off of it. I've got kids now. I've got teenagers. I've got millennials following me. These kids aren't going to put up with this. They aren't going to put up with any of this. I've got a good Facebook rolling going on right now, and my G+ is up to 120,000 views. And if you think I'm putting out crap, I'm not.
I would never suggest that, Patty.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is I've got all of them following me, too, our little cretins that are running the show. Not one word's coming out of their mouths. They need to wake up.
Maybe they're on the defensive.
We're not going to put up with them. And I hope they're listening to all of us, including the mayor who's following me.
And
he's got a church following me. I don't need a church following me.
Who's following? Whose church
is
following?
Oh, Mayor Ken, Mayor Prophet. You know, and he's got his church following on me. I don't like it either.
Patty, Earth to Patty, what's his church?
I don't know. It's some Christian church following me around. And I'm assuming he's following with Ken because he's attached to him. I know what the supreme law of the land is.
I thought he was a Zen Buddhist for some strange reason. Anyway.
I would rather have a Buddhist on my butt than Ken Yagashima.
You can always go get a tattoo of the Buddha on your right or left cheek.
I'd go show it to Gil Sorg and shock him to death.
He would certainly.
No,
he would,
we are part of nature. The thing is, we are part of the environment.
I was going to say,
that was my point today because you brought it up.
He's already in catatonic arrest. So, Patty, anything else?
No, that's all. If I find out any other interesting stuff, I'll let you all know.
Appreciate that, Patty. Have a good day.
I'm digging
Thanks for
the dirt.
Call. Thank
Bye.
You so much. Bye. All right, folks, take a little break here. 628 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we will be right back. We got the ever-exciting and very smooth smoother than Dean Martin. We got Mr. Ben Rossin coming on. Be right back at 6:28 on the, yes, it's the 6th of May. And it's a real nice day outside, real nice day. It's 54 degrees right now, high in the 80s and low in the mid-50s. So it's just it's another one of these beautiful days to enjoy. Yeah, here, right here in 6:33. Now, I've got some stories for you that are bound to interest you. And one of which is about the park test. And this is from KOB on KOBE. Check this one out. What a shock. So that big test and that had been, if I'm not mistaken, protested at one point is actually something that is controversial on more than one level. So, you know, kind of makes you wonder, is it possible that it's not the best test? Now, I'm going to come back and tell you a couple of stories. There was a shooting in Las Cruces. I've got a little video here about ranchers concerned in Catron County about wolves. So you might find that of note. And something on the spaceport. The spaceport is sopping up more of our funds. When will it end, friends? Shouldn't we turn it into some sort of, a space park? Couldn't they have included it in the Oregon Mountains? Shut it down permanently? Anyway, I got some weather for you here, and it is 6:37 on 1450 KOBE. It's AM Las Cruces. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. Hey, folks, 6:40. real nice outside, about 55 degrees. Couldn't be any nicer, really. Now, there are lane closures coming to Las Cruces. Oh, and we got a phone call here to interrupt a very exciting story. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. Rob.
Rob, how's it going?
All right, man. How about yourself?
Not too shabby, thank you. What's up?
You know, a lot of people got together and spread the word about the election yesterday.
How did they do it, Rob?
I wanted to thank you because I think you were a big part of it, getting it out on the airways.
Well, it just, you know, it's a good show and people are interested in it, but we definitely want to educate and then people can make up their mind as to which direction they want to go, right?
Exactly.
So were you surprised by the outcome?
You know, when I read the figures, I based on, I guess you can't judge a book by its cover, but based on the people that I saw on the line, I would have assumed there was a lot more conservatives. Now, I didn't go to the northern or the southern polling place. The crowds there may have been different, and the early voting and the you know, the ballots they find in the ditch probably changed some of that too. But you know, it turned out okay.
Well, that's nice. I heard Don Kurtz was down at the VPR headquarters drowning his sorrows. What's that? You asked the Veterans of Progressive Wars. I guess that would be VPW. But well, they, you know, the left has got to be back on its heels a little bit, but they're very inventive. You know, they're very clever, and they know how to take issues and turn them into campaign pieces. It's almost like putting on a play or something, and you've got this theme in the play that the whole play turns around, like global warming or that type of thing, you know?
Have you ever trained a puppy?
I've never been trusted with
kitten?
I've never been trusted with anything that important, Rob. Why do you bring this up?
Well, that's how the left seems to me. The second you turn your back, will get into the very thing that you don't want them to get into,
yeah.
You know, and just shred it up. And you know, we've all been sleeping for 20, 30 years. And, you know, shows like yours and other organizations that are helping to wake us up and, you know, show us what these puppies are really up to.
Well, I think it's kind of it is a journey of self-discovery. It's a journey of discovery that we're all involved in. I mean, I'm finding out stuff every day that I didn't know. And it makes life a little more interesting. I really cringe when people attack politics itself, because as Aristotle says, politics is the art of interacting with others. And really, it's the art of trying to achieve something. You know, it is this process that we've got. It's the only way that we have to do a lot of things, to achieve things or to make our community better. We should embrace it and make the best out of it, you know?
But you know, you and I think about politics in terms of, boy, the guy I'm voting for, I really hope he'll make things better. Whereas the left, they vote so that they can impose their will on other people, so that they can, you know, get their agenda accomplished. And, you know, whether you as a outsider want it to happen or not.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I would respond to that by saying that I find it curious. And I got used to it so long ago when I went to the University of Oregon. And I was so surprised to see how progressives and leftists communicated and stuff. There, a lot of these people are beyond learning anything, which I found kind of staggering, kind of shocking. You know, you couldn't really give them any more information or any new views. But I think that this is a time in the country when we need to kind of check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. I mean, we're headed in a very dangerous direction, you know.
We really are. It's frightening. They got a lot of irons in the fire.
They sure,
you know,
do.
I think this was one iron too many for them.
Yeah, thank God. Well,
yeah.
I think that, you know, there was a class of people or a group of people that started this country who understood how important politics were. The first wave, I was just reading about this yesterday. Sack von Berkovich writes this book called, I can't remember the name of it, but he's talking about the Puritan origins of this country, this particular view that we had when we started the country. We were rebels, we were outsiders, but we were also seeking to be at the center of God's things. But we've never really lost that kind of, that like you're saying, this outsider view, this idea that we're involved in this mission that's very important. You know, it's kind of an intoxicating mixture what Americans believe about themselves.
Yeah, and, you know, I think in a lot of ways the left is kind of chicken, actually, and not willing to learn. As you said, they're unwilling to learn. You know, they tout openness and open-mindedness and broad-mindedness, but yet they're the most closed-minded people I've met.
Yeah, and you can't, like I say, you can't, I mean, you know, you couldn't teach them anything. They're one of the reasons you can't do it is they think that they're apples and oranges different. If you're a progressive, it's because you've become enlightened. And there's this debate that's out there over the Gnostic, this ancient movement that proposed you get salvation through education, not through faith or anything like that. But it is kind of up till today, you've got this. If you persuade someone that they're smarter than everybody else, it seems to me you couldn't put a bigger burden on people, because that person will then stop growing. They will stop learning.
And they don't have the faith to give them the strength. I mean, most of my strength comes from my faith. You know, there's no way I could get through a day, you know, average day without my faith. But, you know, those people I don't see how they do it. You know, maybe that's why so many of them seem so whacked out.
Well, when I met Gil Sorg, and he's an older guy, but he just seemed so timid. He seemed like a little bird that had fallen out of his nest. I almost felt sorry for him. But and I said, why don't you come on the show? And he just kind of looked at me, and his eyes got real wide. What would we talk about? And I said, well, you know, they've got this recall. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but you've got a recall going on. Why don't you come on and explain why they should retain you? And then he took a couple of days and said that, you know, first he thought he'd do it, and then he thought better of it. But I don't know. I mean, I just, the leadership of old hippies, this stuff is stale. It was disproved during the Cold War. I mean, there is nothing in the progressive arsenal in terms of ideas that can save a country. It dooms people's and countries' societies to failure. It sends you down the drain, you know?
Yeah. They got a few cards in their hand that they think they can play time and again. You hear the race card, the abortion card, the Christianity card. You know, and you're right, it is stale, because you hear the same argument, if you can get them to argue with you, all the time, you know?
Well, they don't argue with you, but there is this real sense of, you know, I'm so far above you, I'm not going to waste my breath talking to you about this. It is a devastating...
That's what they'll tell you, but what they're really thinking is, oh my God, he's coming up with facts and figures, what the heck do I do? Because I know I'm just spouting off.
Yeah,
you know,
I was thinking about this recall and some of these people that were running for the Soil and Water Board and all this stuff, and I couldn't get out of my mind Nietzsche, who said that, you know, Friedrich Nietzsche, this famous philosopher that went crazy.
Wasn't he into eugenics?
Well, I mean, a lot of his ideas are the foundation for Nazism and stuff like that, but I was thinking he was kind of, his dad was a pastor, and he died when Nietzsche was like four. And there's a book that's been written about this. The Faith of the Fatherless is that it's, you know, some of these people never get over losing a father or not having a father, and that their way they view life is then permanently scarred. And so for various reasons, but anyway, this Nietzsche was a brilliant guy. He was what they called a philologist, a term they don't really use anymore, but he had, you know, he was just a brilliant guy and came up through the German system. But his thing was, he studied all these different ethical and moral systems and said, you can't really choose between them logically, because each one is making its own argument. So what you do is you put aside logic and you move into power. The group that shows the greatest will to power, the greatest commitment to leadership, has to be the group that has the right to lead. And that's where I think these people are coming from. I really do. They may not know anything about Nietzsche, but power, and power is something that is self-justifying.
So when you're in a group that overpowers their group's power, what does that do to them? Does that short circuit them? What happens to them then?
It's like a prison. It's like a prison shower. You know, it gives them a new. I don't know. I mean, because they make these strange arguments. On the one hand, it's kind of a natural law argument. Everything we stand for is true. We have to win, whether we're in. You know, we have to be allowed to lead because we know the truth. We have the stuff. We have reality. We're going to impose our will because everybody else is blind. We are the true leaders. But when, you know, on the one hand, on the other hand, it's like if they figure out a way, like in the county when they fought for the budget, and Billy Garrett, I'm sure, feels like I've got the power. I've got every right to wield the power. And you can stick the, you know, the arguments against this, you know, up where the sun don't shine.
Yeah. And the sheriff called him on it.
And what did it do? I mean, here we are at the end of this thing, and now we see that Billy Garrett has the power. The sheriff doesn't. There's no light, you know. It's only heat, you know. So these guys understand there's something intoxicating about power and authority, regardless of how it is achieved or used, you know.
I'm still confused, and maybe when you have on
Ben
your guest today. Yeah. When you have him on, so that's only two people out of a five-member council, though, right?
Yeah, but you know, you've got these kind of people that are fluttering in the wind a little bit, Dr. Garcia, you know. So other people, you've got to get these people on board. That's why if you have a vision, you have a reason for what you're doing, that can be very persuasive to people that are kind of lost. And I mean, I assume most people in this culture are somewhat lost, you know, because we've passed out of being a Christian culture, but it's not really established where exactly we're headed. You know, we're kind of headed into the hinterlands, you know.
Well, I think with so many channels available on TV and so much over the internet and now phones, I think people are really information overloaded.
Yeah, but I think that you can't ever get past the need for a vision. You have to have a unifying principle in what you do. There's got to be a reason for making one choice and avoiding another one, doing, you know, going down one road, whether it's the road less traveled or not. But
but see, for you and me, that would be a logical progression. Okay, last week I voted this, and how do I vote this week based on what I believe and my past vote? But if you don't have that, then you're just like, well, you know, where do we land today?
Yeah, well, I can't argue. Well, listen, Rob, I got to take a break, and we're almost done.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
sorry to take up all your time. Have a good morning.
No, not at all. Great, great call. Thanks a lot. All right, folks, we will take a little break here at 6:53, 6:54, and Sam Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. Be right back. We're going to have Ben Rawson in just a few minutes. It is Kelly here, 6:56, and about 55 degrees on the 6th of May. Yeah, I was thinking about this guy that I was reading this book last night. It was called American Jeremiad. Now, a Jeremiad is it's based on the prophet Jeremiah. The term is from the Old Testament, but it's a warning, or it's kind of a statement or a speech of warning, but this guy was from Canada, and he became like the top scholar of American stuff before he just died. But he wrote a number of books, The Puritan Origins of the American Self. His idea was that Puritanism was so powerful and so influential, so so and so foundational in America that we've never been able to escape it. And we wouldn't want to, because it has these wonderful elements of feeling like you're called by God to do something important, that you're a critic, that you're an outsider. I mean, Americans are kind of outsiders, the way that we handle stuff. To this day, we're still kind of upstarts, you know, we're this colony that stood up to the greatest empire in history. And so that are our roots. And so then I was talking about a vision, having a vision. You know, I think the left is successful to the extent that it puts this vision out. But as people see that it's ineffective, it's that it's either immoral or unethical, or it's it doesn't work. I think probably the fact that it doesn't work is the most devastating problem. And the left has done a lot of things to kind of, you know, distract people into concentrating on what they actually stand for, and just get them to support them for these various causes, feminism, the gay rights movement, all these different things are meant to distract you from trying to figure out what is at the heart of, you know, leftism, progressivism. Anyway, we'll be back and talk to Ben Ross and Kelly O'Connell. 6:59. We'll be back. Good morning, Kelly. 7:06. Hey, it is the 6th of May, and we've had a very important race last night. It's on the front of the Sun News, and I've got Ben Rossin is here for his Rossin Report. He can fill us in a little bit on that, but it was a devastating win for the old guard, for the people who are part of the families here that were not imported to run our city, like some cargo cult. The Wayne Hancocks and the Billy Garrett. Although Billy Garrett did somebody told me Billy Garrett grew up here. He went away to work for the federal government and was trained in federal government thinking, and then he came back to run our city. So anyway, good morning to you, Ben Rossin.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. What are we going to deal with on the Rossin Report?
You know, Kelly, this morning on the Rossin Report, I want to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday at the county budget work session. We had a work session that lasted until just after 5 o'clock on another marathon meeting. And really what we came down to, Kelly, is that we're not prepared to send a budget to Santa Fe.
Ooh, is that good or bad?
Well, you know, I think it's disappointing. I think it shows a lack of leadership from the commission, that we don't even have a budget to look at, to agree to vote on, to send up to Santa Fe. And that's going to be a big problem down the road.
I believe if Billy Garrett was here, he would say the only thing that he offers is leadership.
You know, there's obviously two different perspectives on that, Kelly. You know, we need to have a budget out there that we can look at and evaluate, make changes if needed, so that we can go ahead and send it up to Santa Fe. We're supposed to take a vote on that next Tuesday. And the county commission agreed that we're not prepared to do that because there's too many questions that the county commission still has. And
are the questions involving the sheriff at all?
Absolutely. That's a big question that's still out there, Kelly.
Has the sheriff been pushed off like an unwanted suitor?
You know, Kelly, he's sure been shown how the county commission thinks of him and what priority they put on public safety, and that's disappointing.
I mean, he was basically given a hazing.
Yeah, he was told that he didn't know what he was doing, and he needs to listen to us because we're the all-knowing county commission. And Kelly, that's just not an attitude that I think is appropriate.
It is appropriate if you are a progressive and you represent the pure truth of leftism.
You know, Kelly, that you're right on that. You know, we have a county commission right now that is dominated by progressives, and they want to tell everybody else how to do things. So even like on the transit tax that was defeated by the voters by more than 15%, very substantial in a political election, we're going to go ahead and do that anyway because that's what the vice chairman wants to do.
Who's the vice chairman?
Commissioner Hancock wants to do. And that the challenge there is his response is the people didn't know what they were voting for. And they don't know what they need.
Oh, okay.
So we have to take care of them. And
okay.
That's not the right attitude.
Isn't that true that the that the county commission in their enlightenment needs to look out for the less fortunate?
You know, Kelly, I'm not a fan of trusting government for much of anything, but we've got to work on the things that need to be focused on. And of course, one of those big priorities is the sheriff's department. And we're still waiting to see how that gets handled in the county budget. Oh, that's a good question, Kelly. I think that because of public outcry, there's going to be no option other than to support the sheriff. The question is what they're going to do with all of the other projects and where they're going to come up with the funding. Kelly, for your listeners' information, the county budget that has been presented to us has $149 million in spending in it this year. To put that in perspective, in 2007, just a few years ago, we were less than $100 million in expenses. And so that's what's happened in county government since 2007. We've increased spending by over 50% at a time when the rest of our economy has been going through a recession, and that's not a sustainable growth. And so that's what the county is having to grapple with, is here we've had all of this additional expenses without the additional revenue to offset it, and we've got to find a way to rein that in.
Well, Steve Wynn says that there has been no economic recovery. It's a mirage.
Kelly, we're certainly seeing that here in Doñana County. Our gross receipts countywide as of February were down 7%, which is very substantial. And what's real substantial in that, Kelly, too, is when you compare that to the city of El Paso. The El Paso city tax gross receipts tax, or sales tax, excuse me, has increased by 5.7%. That means that more people are spending money down there. Their economy is growing at a rate of 5.7% compared to up here in Doñana County, where we're losing 7%. And I think that's a direct correlation due to the anti-growth, anti-business mentality on our current county commission and
so
city council.
The achievements of the anti-growth are just... It's just kind of being exported just down the road a few steps. We're not saving this area from global warming, in other words.
No, Kelly. You know, we look at the city of El Paso growing with, I mean, I'll repeat those numbers for your listeners because I think they're a very important distinction. But the city of El Paso is 5.7% increase in grocers in sales tax over last year, whereas Doñana County is down 7% compared to last year.
If Billy Golden Earring Garrett was here, he would tell you it's a coincidence. But even if it wasn't, it's irrelevant because we're achieving what we need to for this town. What would you say to that?
Kelly, I would point to Deming, which is growing their gross receipts. I'd point to Alamogordo, which is growing their gross receipts. I'd point to TRC, which is growing their gross receipts. I'd point to El Paso, that's growing their gross receipts. All four directions, north, east, west, south, there's growth. But right here in Doñana County, it is not growing. Our economy is shrinking.
We're in a very stale epicenter.
We are. And Kelly, that's part of the problem. Anytime you stop going forward, you start sliding backwards. And that's the stage that we have entered here in Doñana County.
Well, I mean, according to these people on the county commission, you achieve greatness for this planet, for this community, for this universe by not growing.
Kelly, I couldn't disagree more. I've got a growing family. I've got four kids in my family that are growing, and I want them to have places to have a job, a good paying job here in Doñana County.
Do you think that the county commissioners that are running things are in touch with reality?
Kelly, I don't think they are.
And what do they hope to achieve? It's like voting against plastic bags. Is that really going to save the United States?
Well, Kelly, that hasn't come to the county commission, thankfully. But, you know, we're dealing with these issues like focusing on transportation. We're focusing on a livable environment. But what we're forgetting is that for people to really be able to survive in this area, they have to have a job. And, well, Kelly, that's where the focus has to be.
That's where the rubber hits the road. And there is something that's kind of interesting. If you dig down, if you tap down into these communities that discuss global warming and all of the changes that they want to bring in that would shrink the economy, that would shrink the population, that would reorganize the entire Earth's economic structure, you find that so many of these things are understood within these groups as being symbolic. Even if you got rid of all plastic bags from the Earth, it would not do anything. to substantially improve the life of human beings. That's it. I mean, and they admit this stuff. And so many of these, so we're supposed to make these symbolic sacrifices for what, for who? And while the leaders, Al Gore's vacation home is 10,000 square feet and uses as much energy as 50 or 100 normal homes. But he's flying around the world burning up fossil fuel at a staggering rate to tell people to not make a carbon footprint.
You know, Kelly, it reminds me of the global warming resolution that the county commission passed as is all too common on a 4-1 vote, where I was on the minority on that. But it was a resolution telling Santa Fe and telling Washington that we didn't want to keep pumping oil, that we wanted to put a tax on that oil and stop that so that we would save the environment. And the challenge there, Kelly, is that oil and gas is what pays for our public schools here in New Mexico.
Not only that, but there's no consensus. Well, it's just horrifying to watch something like this be erected in the town we love, you know?
It is, Kelly, and that's what got me involved on the county commission. That's why I'm here on a weekly basis, to make sure people know what's going on and kind of sound that trumpet so that people know and come out and show up. And
it's a Jeremiah. It is a criticism of the powers that be. It is a warning that we're going way off the reservation into uncharted territory. We're going to ruin this community.
And hopefully, Kelly, we're starting to make a change. We saw that yesterday with the election, and I want to thank everyone that took time to come out and vote. I spent a little bit of time walking along the line at the Doñana County mm-hmm. building, which was a long line mm-hmm. For most of the day, and I really appreciate people coming out and taking some time to do that. And I also want to give a shout-out to the county clerk's office, Lynn Ellens and Scott Kraling. They did a good job of getting forms so that people could fill them out and try and keep that line moving real quick. They did a good job of that.
That's good. That's good to hear. Lynn Ellens, DeGeneres, was there. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. This is Jim again. How are you today?
Jim, what's going on?
Well, hey, I just want to let you know that we were there and voted yesterday. And my comment is, if all those people that came out yesterday would have come out on the recall and could come out on the next election to come through, we can change this place around.
Let's do it. Nothing's stopping us.
You know, my wife and I were in line yesterday, and there's a couple, some ladies in front of us, and we didn't exactly hear their words, but in essence, if we hadn't have heard about this, and I didn't catch the rest of it, but Kelly, that's why your show is on, and we were notified, I don't have to say this, by the Tea Party, but nevertheless, the people came out regardless of how they got their information. They were there, voted, let's get rid of these rascals and get them out of there.
Absolutely. I was grateful that Steve Wilmoth and Mr. Schickadance showed up to inform people. But it's, you can see, Jim, that if you have people in power that have a certain idea, an agenda, if you will, and that agenda is played out long enough, the effects can be devastating.
Yes, and it also shows that there are a lot more people than we have, or at least I thought, and my wife thought, that there's a lot more people that are conservative than we ever thought there would be, because they blew the doors off yesterday.
The conservative movement as a whole in the United States is 2-1. The people who consider themselves to be diehard conservatives, 2-1 over those people who are progressives, leftists, Marxists, socialists, whatever group you want to put them into. I think progressive is better. But anything else, Jim?
Jim, before
yes,
you
I
go, if
to,
I could
yes, tell sir.
You.
I Jim, want to thank Ben Rawson for his input. It's always delightful to hear his position on things, and we need to get behind and support him and those like.
Jim, Ben's
Jim,
got some for you.
Thank you very much. I did want to ask you real quick how long you stood in line over there at the county building, if I could.
Yes, sir. My wife and I stood there, I'm going to guess, maybe 35 to 40 minutes, but it was a very enjoyable 35 to 40 minutes because we were bolstered by looking at those lines. And the things we were generally hearing across, that there were a lot of conservative people there yesterday, and you're right. The people in charge of that really sped it up by handing us those forms, getting us filled out in advance. I mean, it went smooth.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, Jim, and thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Okay, I've got a little Bruce Coburn here, a dream like mine. What I was talking to Rob about last hour was you have a vision. The vision, basically, as you work on your vision, as you build it, it gives you a direction to go in. It puts light on your path. It gives you a structure to try to build. And the left has been fantastic at this. The right, although we know what we believe in general, we don't build a vision, and we've got to go back to that. Anyway, so Kelly O'Connell 720, we're listening to, or you're listening to the Rawson Report. Ben Rawson's here. And, AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE 523 1450 to call in. We'll be right back. 724, it's about 55 degrees. The temperature is going to be a little over 80 and the low is going to be in the mid 50s, about 10 miles an hour wind today. So it's real nice out there, and it's going to be clear. Tomorrow's supposed to be cloudy. All right, I've got Ben Rawson here, the Rawson Report. Ben, I want to throw something out to you that we've just been kind of kicking around, but this idea that there's a vision, we have a vision for what the community can look like. We have a vision for how to build steps, how to make the machine to get there. What would your analysis of that be? As a person who's actually involved in public policy and creating plans that are actually being put in, what's when you hear that idea, what's your reaction?
Kelly, I think that you have to have a vision if you're going to be in politics, because otherwise there's no way you'd put up with all the garbage that you end up going through.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kelly, when it comes to Doñana County, I know we could be a successful community. We look, as I mentioned earlier, every single direction around us, we've got growing communities. But right here, we're losing 7% of our economic growth.
How do you know it's not incidental, it's a coincidence, just because El Paso's picking up grocery receipts and we're losing it? Couldn't that just be an anomaly?
Kelly, it could. And if it was just El Paso, I might have some questions. But when it's El Paso, Deming, TRC, Alamogordo, every single one of those, northeast, south, and west from us is growing, and we're dropping by 7%. That's not an anomaly. That's the political climate that's been set.
All right. If Billy Garrett was here, I've got to talk for him since he won't. Well, I can't say he won't come on. I haven't invited him recently, but he would say, if you love this community, you would stay here and shop and spend your money and give your gross receipts to the city and county if you really cared about the community.
Kelly, I really care about this community and I'm focused on shopping here, but keep in mind, it's not really all about shopping, because when we're talking shopping, we're talking about retail activity.
Yeah.
And that's not an economic driver for a community. An economic driver is when you're bringing dollars in from another community to here. One of that is manufacturing. What I do with doors and windows, we do a lot of manufacturing, and then we ship them outside of this community and bring those dollars back to this community. That's the type of job that we need. That's an economically driven job to bring dollars into our community, and that's the difference between that and retail.
So, is it worth the loss to build a more beautiful community like the Billy Garretts and the Wayne Hancocks believe?
You know, Kelly, if we chase everyone away, there's no job growth here, and people can't find a place to work. They're not going to stay around, because people have to provide for their families and they need a job. And so that's what the focus has got to be on, Kelly, is creating those jobs, or not really creating, because government doesn't create jobs, but creating an environment that encourages businesses to grow and to expand, to increase their employment numbers and make the community a better place.
All right. So if you had a chance to be the commissioner, let's just say that Billy Garrett, took a vacation to Tahiti, and you were asked to fill in, what changes would you bring in?
Kelly, I think some of the changes we've got to make is how quickly we handle paperwork at the county building. When somebody's coming in for a permit, that needs to be processed quickly and timely. Too often there's an attitude of CYA instead of getting it taken care of. People are concerned about making sure that they don't make a wrong decision. Well, we need to look at that quickly, make the quick, educated decision that we can, and move forward and keep people from waiting for 6 weeks for a permit. So that's a big part right there.
We got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello, Sergio. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Sergio. Hope you're doing well. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment on And Ben right there, he's absolutely right about the job growth here, chasing people away. I remember last week you still had his two brothers. I know a lot of people right now, they're only working anywhere from 22 to 25 hours a week. That will not sustain a family or even a single person. Because I know a lot of people who are working anywhere from 35 to 40 hours and they're barely making it. So, I don't know. The people of this community don't seem to be focused on the future at all. There's no visionaries left except for Mr. Rosen right there and yourself and a few others that I know. So I just wanted to comment that he's absolutely right, and I hope the people, the folks of this county start to realize the potential this place has. But this Garrett guy, of course, he's already settled in with what he has. Obviously, he's well off enough to where he's not worried about the common folk. So again, I say to Mr. Rosen, keep up the good work, and most people I talk to are supporting him, and I hope things go well for this county in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and have a great day, Sergio.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. That was a great call from Sergio Kelly, and I know we're right up against a break here, but I do want to come out to the county commission meetings. We've got our next one Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Be a part of the process. Email me. Pay attention to what's going on. If you'd want, you can follow me on Facebook. And also, Kelly, remind people that if they're looking for doors or windows, hardware, fireplaces, anything like that, come by Ross and Builder Supply and give us a chance to serve you on your next project.
Fantastic. Does this mean that you're leaving?
I'm headed out of here, Kelly.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ben. Great to have you on. Folks, we'll take a little break here at 7:30. It is AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE and 523-1450 to call, and we will be back. Kelly, 7:33, and so we just had Ben on here. Ben was kind of celebrating this outcome last night. This thing that happened at the polls. If I had a chance to talk to Billy Garrett, Wayne Hancock, Nathan Tiny Smalls, any of these other people, what would I say to them? I mean, I wouldn't presume that I could convince them of anything because I think that they are converts. They are, the progressive movement is a religious movement in the sense that you are persuaded. It's kind of pseudo evangelical. It is that you have a conversion experience. You see the light. You are given a pair of glasses with which to see history, to view the past and the future. And I think it's intoxicating. I think it's kind of like being in a gang. I think when you're a young person, especially if you haven't had a father, the allure of a gang is very powerful because it offers a family. It offers a moral structure. It's got a romantic element to it, but as you get older, being in a gang is extremely detrimental, and it, draws people into a life of crime and into prison or death. And I think in a way, getting drawn into the progressive movement is kind of like that because it's kind of like a family, but it is a way of seeing things. It is an identity, and it is a claim of truth. And I was mentioning Gnosticism. Gnosticism is this ancient belief system that kind of comes up in the Middle East after the apostolic age after Jesus comes and the apostles, they're there and they write the New Testament and everything. As that age is ending, the Gnostic movement is kind of arising, and it is a combination of Eastern belief in Judaism or Christianity. Judaism is the Kabbalism. Kabbalism is a combination of the Eastern religion and Judaism. And the Mishnah was influenced by that. But this Kabbalist thing is kind of an interesting topic one of these days. But then you've got this Gnostic movement and Gnostic Christianity. And I think that's kind of what they're offering it, because it's salvation by way of enlightenment, by education, by believing in the right things, being informed and enlightened. And so you can't persuade these people of anything because they're converted. They're converts. It's like going up to a Muslim, a Muslim terrorist, take off the explosive jacket and come over here and let's talk. You know, you can't really have a conversation with people that are converted like that. And what they're converted into is very simplistic. You know, rich people are bad, poor people are good, capitalism destroys the earth, socialism is the way to the future. It's very, very basic stuff. It is tremendously mistaken, but you don't talk people out of their religion normally. So I don't know what impact I could have talking to these people. What would I appeal to, though? I would appeal to history. Look at the experiments of socialism. I'm not aware of any country that's taken on socialism either by choice or by force. And usually it's more to the latter. The more progressive, the more heavy the overtake of the market and private property is, the more it's been imposed by force. But I'm not aware of any socialistic undertaking that's ever been successful in the long term. It's a degradation of the economy. And I've got a book at home. I need to read it. It's called Backwoods. Basically, backwood communes. But it has to do with all these attempts in the history of America to create a commune and make it work. I'm trying to multitask here. Backwoods. Anyway, I'll find it and then bring it back on for you. Let's take a break here. I'm just really want to get into it's the life of the mind. To be a true conservative is to engage in the life of the mind, to be open, to be informed, to continually look for information, study history, philosophy, religion, whatever. Try to inform yourself. And it is it's the task of the progressive movement to come out with basically a mirage and try to sell people on the mirage. In the mirage is this beautiful world, this utopia, but beyond the glitzy pictures it's a devastating imposition of government. It's a tyranny, and there's no going back, you know? So anyway, that's kind of at the root of my thinking. The reason I would want to convert anybody out of progressivism is because I think it's a failed mission from the very beginning. But anyway, we'll be right back. 739, 740, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly Rob.
What's up, man?
So, not something I want to say on air, but off air, are you going to be in your office much today?
Yeah.
I got to meet with Bev to get some money for the Tea Party website, so maybe I'll stop by and bring you some box.
All right, man. That sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Have a good day. All right. See you later.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something on air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
No, why don't you just bring it up?
Rob. Just wait. I just misunderstood what you said. Just hold on. Are you following what I'm talking about? Is it make sense?
Yeah, and what I was going to say, you'd probably throw a wrench into it. So how about I call in tomorrow?
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Cheers.
All right. It's Kelly, of course, 7:42. And, well, let's see here. Looking at some of the headlines. And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Eddie.
Hey, Eddie.
And
thanks for calling in.
You bet. You know, the thing is that although this utopia that we're building, really be, the nice thing about it is that the people that live in it will have a living wage. And the people who don't have a job will be leaning on the rest of those that are that have a living wage for support.
Well, that is one of the great mysteries of utopianism is once you take somebody's money and you've told everybody you're going to take their money and redistribute it to other people, that's not really what happens. The government gets the money. And so kind of reminds me of this thing that's happening right now. The gross receipts tax was brought in part because we needed to fund the sheriff's department. And now we see that the sheriff's department
is
not going to be funded, but they're going to put $4 million into it and make it look like they're funding it. It's all very, very clever, but the goal, if you study this stuff, you always hear people talk about how we need to tax more. A true progressive always wants to tax more. Why? Ultimately, it's because only the government has a right to property or wealth or money.
If they can take over your health and they can take over your productivity, then they've pretty much taken you over.
Yeah. Where's your city of refuge then, you know?
Yeah, there's no place to go. But, you know, I think that probably the problem is we're just not smart enough to get it.
Well, I've yet to meet anybody other than in the university setting that actually seems to have studied the history of their own beliefs. I mean, it's just it is invariable that when I begin to talk with leftists, progressives, that they pull the chute very early and the conversation ends, you know.
That always happens with incompetence. It is very easily offended. Incompetence.
Yeah. Yeah, and being offended is just another way to try to get power. Look at what's going on in America today. What's political correctness based on getting offended?
Yeah, you're right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
Have a great day and enjoy the utopia.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
buddy. You do have a job, right?
Right, exactly.
You're self-employed.
Well,
yeah. All right.
For the time being. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Eddie. All right, so here's the book that I got, and I haven't read it yet, but I was enchanted by the title. Backwoods Utopias, the Sectarian Origins and the Owenite Phase of Communitarian Socialism in America, 1663 to 1829. All right, so kind of let's go through this. Backwoods Utopias, communities that were started in America to put out socialist beliefs, you know, practices. Sectarian origins, sectarianism is actually, well, I guess kind of it's a religious term, but Owenite, this guy by the name of Owen started the first utopia, and it was in America, believe it or not. He came over here from England. He was wealthy from owning factories, and he came here and he built these communes, and it didn't work out, but it was kind of an interesting, this idea that America's never tried socialism is not true. The earliest communities that came over from Europe attempted to do communal structure and found that it didn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is very simple. And it's something that the left doesn't accept. There's a human nature. We're self-interested. And the left says that's bad. It's greed. It's not bad. It is the way we're designed. Each person is responsible for their own stuff. And to want to build a business or a foundation just means that you want to take care of yourself and your family so your kids can have a house to live in and your wife can, you know, spend some time with the kids and so the children can be sent to school and everything. There's nothing sinister about it. It's absurd, though, to suggest that human beings don't have a human nature. I have a book that I haven't read yet, but that indicates there's 200 or 300 different characteristics that are found in all societies, meaning that these are built in, baked into the cake in human nature. So the idea that you're going to stick somebody in a commune and you're going to educate them out of the need to, or the want to be rewarded for their labors, is not only foolhardy, it's not only disproved by history, but it's a very cruel thing to want to do. I mean, that's just how we're designed. Whether you think we're designed by Charles Darwin or Yahweh, that's in us. We are self-interested. And you know what? The world's better because we're self-interested, because then, therefore, people have the ability to take care of themselves. All right, so let's take a little break here. Hopefully this isn't getting too heavy, but 7:48, Kelly O'Connell. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We'll be right back. Hey, who's this?
This is Rob, and I definitely want to talk to you now.
You want to talk on the air?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We'll be on in just a second.
Okie doke.
Kelly here. It's 7:51, and I've got Rob on the line. And Rob, you've got a burning need to make a comment.
Yeah, you know, we have one of those utopianist experiments right here in the valley. It's
which
called
is what?
Salem Colony.
It's what?
Salem Colony.
Holy cow, Salem, huh? So
Salem with an H.
Oh, Salem.
You've heard of Salem Colony Trail, the road up there by the river?
I have not. I feel embarrassed to say I have not.
It was founded in 1884 by a New York dentist.
Uh-huh.
And he claimed to have written his own Bible. And so what he tried to do was gather, like, the outcasts and the orphans, and he was going to train them to be the new leaders.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So you can look it up on online. I bet you can find stuff on it.
I just looked it up. The Salem Colony Formation is a geological formation, but what's
the history of it?
But what can you tell us about the modern Salem Colony?
Oh, it's not there. Right?
Oh, it doesn't exist anymore. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, that was it. Just thought you'd like to know.
Well, very interesting. I'll have to nose into that one. Thank you, and I'll talk to you later. All right, folks, 7:53. So I'm looking at this. Okay, so the guy that started this utopian community in America was Robert Owen. He was not really a religious person. He was a Welsh communitarian philosopher, but he was also he was basically a wealthy guy that had thought he had found a better way. Now, Robert Owen did help the world. I think he was the guy that helped to get kids out of the factories and bring in a shorter work day. So we need to be grateful. But he came here and he started this new, I'm trying to remember the name of this thing. It was New Harmony Community, and it lasted for a few years and then it was sold off. But utopianism is something that's been attempted before in this country, and it never works. It just doesn't. You can't have a situation where people can choose whether they're going to work or not, and then it's up to other people to support them. All right, so I was talking about having a vision for the community. What would that mean? I think it would be dealing with some of the tax issues to make it easier to open a business and sustain a business. And as Ben Rawson was saying, streamline the bureaucratic process, the getting of business licenses and permits and stuff. There's no reason that it would, by the nature of things, have to take a long time. It's a choice. And, you know, start figuring out some industries that we can help develop in this community and get something that causes people to want to stay. I mean, why should kids go to NMSU and then feel like they have to leave to get a job somewhere else? It is a complete fiction that we can stop or slow down global warming by keeping one community underperforming, undergrowing. It's just nonsense. These people have to be confronted on the issues. Find out what it is that drives Billy Garrett or Wayne Hancock get to the heart of Olga Pedroza, Tiny Smalls, and Gil Sorg, challenge them on their beliefs. You know, they all are getting in the way of progress here and doing things that people don't appreciate, yet they continue to stay in power year in, year out, and they're putting an imprint on this valley that is really devastated business. How can you have a good community if you don't have job growth? You know, the community grows. Don't jobs need to grow, the number of jobs? They say you need to have a 3% growth in the economy just to replace jobs and offer jobs for the new people showing up. So it is this kind of passive-aggressive leadership. You know, it's misleading. It is dilatory. It is opposed to success. It's opposed to, you know, private to the growth of the middle class economy. And it is, it's harmful, and you don't want to live in a community like that. It's, you know, this people that are, you know, wherever they were born, living their lives and maybe working for the government across the United States and then coming back here to live out this hippie fantasy that's never even existed. It's heartbreaking to see that people don't even have a way to get jobs, you know. And how is that doing the Lord's work, whether you're a progressive or whatever else you are? And I just got a text here. The first colonies in America were William Bradford. William Bradford set up this this initial let's talk about that tomorrow a little bit, do a little bit of the history of communitarianism, I guess what they call it, in America. But that initial colony failed and almost killed America because they tried to pool all their resources. And so anyway, let's have a vision. Let's develop a vision. The vision's there. This is not virgin soil to be tilled. You know, it's we see and we understand what causes communities to grow. The principles of classical liberalism, the defense of private property, the defense of free speech and free religion and, you know, an open press and everything. All of these things, you know, defense of the right to contract, all of these different things, getting government out of the way and let the natural genius of the American people flourish and thrive and build a foundation, not just for themselves, not just for their family, but also for the whole community. That's the vision. And it's simply not being achieved by the hippie tyranny that's been established here. We need to move beyond that, you know, and the disaster with the sheriff's department is just one more page in the book of failure for Dona Ana. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell here. Thanks for listening in. Take you out with a little dream. Here's the vision music. Have a great day. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao.